warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Ken Ham's group Answers in Genesis is building a $25 million creation museum to present the truth of our world and our universe. We talked about that yesterday on this program. Well, this Sunday morning, June 6th, one of the founding board members of Answers in Genesis will be speaking at Denver Bible Church, and we're thrilled about that. That's Carl Kirby. Thank you, Carl, for joining us again. Welcome back to the show.
It's a real pleasure, Bob. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Yesterday, in describing the museum for us, and if anybody wants to know about that, they got to go to the website, answersingenesis.org. But you mentioned the museum will lay out the seven seas.
Yes.
And that's a play on the term, the seven seas, geographically, and it's neat. But I was able to think of a number of the seven seas, but I couldn't get all seven. What are they?
Well, we start off, again, we're trying to do this teaching from a linear timeline of history, and this is really the core of Answers in Genesis message, and it's Ken's brainchild. He's the one that came up with this. So you start with creation, of course, Adam and Eve and right. all of creation, how it was affected, were the days real day, and you start there. And then you go to corruption, because we know that Adam and Eve sinned, and because of that sin, it changed the world that we live in today. Then you go to catastrophe. The catastrophe of the flood, because of the flood. Now we can start explaining geology, a biblical history of geology.
Wow.
And I'll just kind of go through the others, and then we can talk about specifics if you like. After catastrophe is confusion, the confusion of the tongues at the Tower of Babel.
The languages, the onset.
The languages,
wow.
correct. And then you've got Christ. After the confusion, you've got Christ. And from Christ, you have the cross, of course, which we talked about being so well depicted so well in the movie The Passion, and then from the cross, the consummation, because if he came the one time, he will come again, and he is going to restore that heavens and that new that earth, that new heavens and that new earth, into that what it was like in the beginning, that place of no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, that message of hope that we have. So you just go through that those seven seas, and along those seven seas, you deal with the questions that the world is confronting you with. So creation, how did God create? He tells us how he created. And if you can trust the fact that he tells us that he created, you can even trust the way that he said that he did in 7 days.
Right.
Speaking into existence.
And corruption, things began to fall apart when Adam and Eve rebelled against God.
Mm-hmm. And then catastrophe, well, how do you deal with what's in catastrophe? Well, if God judged sin in the past, what would we expect to find? The fossils at your church are taking people out digging and looking. What happened to the dinosaurs? You deal with it right there at the time of the catastrophe. God took two of every, seven of some. Animals onto the ark. And
what does Ken Ham say? I think it's him with if there was a worldwide flood that destroyed everything. How
right.
does he put it in one sentence?
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. But he says it a whole lot faster than I can.
Well,
with a great accent.
Wait, let me see. Billions of dead things laid down by water,
buried in rock layers,
laid down by water all
over
the
earth.
And that's
boy, if there was a real worldwide flood, what would you expect to find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. What do you find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. And so when the people say, there's no evidence of a worldwide flood, you'll make the point of, well, wow, I wonder why there's no evidence, because all we find are billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. So he's great. He's got this great sense of humor with that stuff.
Yeah, and he's a great communicator, and that's the way to do it. When you could show that there's not one little piece of evidence that supports the Bible story of a global flood. Everything supports the Bible story of a global flood.
Isn't that amazing? When you put on those biblical glasses, when you start looking at the world through the lens of God's Word, the pieces fall into place, it becomes easy, and you no longer have to make excuses and apologize for being a Christian.
And let's look at the next C, which is confusion, pointing to the Tower of Babel.
Right.
Evolutionists would have to believe that mankind evolved slowly over a few million years, and languages would have very slowly evolved. And it would probably have taken thousands of years, tens of thousands of years, for complex languages to develop. But when historians and linguists go back, archaeologists, do they find evidence that these simple, primitive languages were around for thousands of years?
Absolutely not. With the earliest language they find is complex. Even the what some people would want to call primitive people that are living today, their languages are complex. I love Dr. Don Chittick out of Newburgh, Oregon. He has a wonderful book on ancient man, and he goes through what they find an ancient man is a complex civilization. We're not talking grunting and groaning and, you know, bent over, stand until you eventually, over millions of years, you stand upright. You find complex. You find intelligence as far back as we can find in history.
A couple things about that. The language is complex. As soon as we find it in history, there it is. It's
right.
It's fully developed.
Right.
And if we look at the Bible says that Abraham was born in Ur of the Chaldees. And when you look at that, when archaeologists began just a century ago to excavate that site, they found the most, and that's maybe one of the oldest, if not the oldest city in the world. And archaeologists were overwhelmed by how sophisticated the culture, their economics, of course, their language, their jewelry, their workmanship, their crafts. Even now, Carl, what blows me away is their architecture. Mm-hmm. They built, you know, this big ziggurat where they worshiped their false gods, and Abraham worshiped the true God. But this big building had interior rooms with a huge expanse of a ceiling. And they built the ceilings concave, a bit concave, so that not to keep up the weight of the rest of the building, it was just a veneer. They did it because in a large room, if you build a perfectly flat ceiling that's a little bit low, an optical illusion, people will think it's going to fall in on them.
Right, right.
And they'll feel uncomfortable, so they give it the slightest bow to it so that you feel good in the large room with a big, low roof. And to think that this is the first city, perhaps the oldest or the oldest city mankind knows of, and it's so sophisticated that architecture reached that degree of sophistication.
Absolutely.
Obviously, architecture was a skill that men before the flood had developed to a science, and it survived. Those skills survived the flood on Noah's Ark with Noah and his sons, and they taught their sons how to build.
Right. It makes total sense. When Dr. Chittick talks about ancient man, he takes you down to the walls that they have built down in Mexico and Chichen Itza, these walls that there are stones that are so big that we do not have anything in our world today, any crane designed to move very, very heavy loads. We don't have anything that can move these stones. And these stones are placed together in a wall that you can't slide a piece of paper in between these stones. So
yeah, they were brilliant.
There was a real intelligence back there. These were not ape men just stumbling around, scraping their hands up on these things. These were very intelligent men. And that, I mean, think about it. Who was probably the most intelligent man that ever lived? It would have had to have been Adam.
Adam, right. So that they were brilliant. And when you go back, the mystery, even Time Life with their evolutionary outlook, will publish the mysteries of the ancients because they can't figure out how primitive cavemen could be so brilliant to do what they were doing. Maybe aliens came and helped them, but God created us brilliant, and we've lost 90% of our brain capacity. We haven't evolved to be smarter. We've lost most of what he gave us.
Well, I tell you, you're talking about those concave ceilings. When I was in Greece last year, we went to the Parthenon, and they did the exact same thing at the Parthenon. I never knew this. All those pillars that if you've ever seen those pictures, see those pillars on the outside? They did the exact same thing with those pillars that they're actually
they're slanted
bowed.
Inward. Okay.
Yeah, they're bowed so that from a distance, when you look at them from a distance, they appear to be straight, but they're not. They tip backwards, and they lean back in towards the building, and they're bowed so that when you look at it from a distance, it looks perfectly straight.
I'm sorry, we'd have
a bunch of crooked buildings if you'd left it up to me.
Yeah, and if you follow the line of those pillars up into the atmosphere, you get some miles up above the Parthenon, and they would all meet at one point. The precision was just awesome.
Oh, it's amazing.
So ancient men were not just coming out of caves.
Oh, absolutely.
We've been degrading. I actually think idiot savants, someone who's mentally retarded for all intents and purposes, except they have some brilliant capability. It shows us evidence of their brain was broken, but somehow there was a passageway to part of their brain that was common of what humans could do thousands of years ago, so that they can do the most extraordinary math effortlessly that we need computers for.
Well, I cannot wait for the new heavens and the new earth to get a new mind, because the mind that I have right now is definitely suffering from years of sin, and it's weak, it's fallible.
Yeah.
But the fact is that when God creates us, I don't think that we can even begin to comprehend what it's going to be like.
What it's going to be like. Carl Kirby with Answers in Genesis will be in Denver Sunday morning, this Sunday morning, June 6th at Denver Bible Church. Carl, you're going to be presenting Sunday school and the sermon, right? Take the sermon time.
Yes, sir. I'm going to do whatever you guys allow me to do. It's an exciting opportunity to get out and encourage and share.
We'll keep you busy, that's for sure. Sunday school, you'll have an hour, and then the sermon, you'll probably have 45 minutes. Now, they normally keep me to a half hour, but they said since we have an interesting speaker this Sunday, you got 45 minutes. But, Carl, we've got a manuscript, an overview of the Bible called The Plot that we've been selling for years, and in there, we point out a neat little observation, a parallelism, if you will, that at the Tower of Babel, God confused the languages. And in the book of Revelation, in the end times, God is going to destroy Babylon, the world system that opposes God. And what's so interesting is in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, when God sent the Holy Spirit, he there, I think, symbolically showed us that what he was doing was reversing the curse of Babel, that Babylon the Great will fall. Because there, for that short time, those people who had been given these different languages, the languages were confused. No one could understand one another. For that day, showing us a glimpse of what the gospel will bring about, suddenly the confusion was gone, the curse was reversed, and men could understand one another. It's real neat.
Well, I tell you, that confusion issue, as we talked about, being one of the seas, is huge, because when you start with that real confusion, that real Tower of Babel with a real confusing of the languages, that is the perfect mechanism to help us as Christians to understand how you get all the different people groups in the world, because now you have this one large gene pool all together at one place, confusion languages, the different language groups start moving out all over the place, and now you can start seeing how you can get these dominant genes with different skin quote-unquote colors, even though we all have the same skin color, but the amount of melanin that we each have to give us the different shades, that gene pool starts moving out, and you start losing genes for the light skin or the dark skin. And I mean, that when you take that as real history, as you guys are doing and teaching, it's amazing the answers that you're going to have.
Yeah, it really is exciting. And then we get to Christ and the seven C's: creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, and then Christ.
Oh, and that is such – Christ and the cross are the two that, in my mind, we are really so fortunate in today's culture because of that move into passion that you brought up. That is there. Now, here's a difficulty, though. If we try to just preach Christ crucified, the same thing that happened, I believe, in Acts and in Corinthians with Paul and Peter, mm-hmm. when they preached to the Jews, that message was received. But when they take that message to the Greeks, remember it said that it was foolishness.
Yeah.
We have to understand the culture that we're trying to reach and the people that we're trying to share the gospel with. And in our culture today, if we're very honest, our school systems, our public school systems have taught the world, taught our children, taught us to think like Greeks, where we no longer understand that Creator God who loved us and created a perfect creation, and man's action changed the world that we live in, mm-hmm. so that the world that we see today isn't the one that he created.
Right, right.
You know, understand that Christ that died on the cross.
Yeah, Carl, so that the link, it seems so clear to me, I hope all Christians will recognize this, that you can't preach Christ crucified effectively if the people you're speaking to don't believe that God is the creator.
Absolutely.
If God didn't create Adam and Eve, if we are not special, made in his image and his likeness, it doesn't make sense for God the Son to become a human being, humble himself, suffer and die for us so that we would not go to heaven. But if we trust in him, we could have eternal life. None of that makes sense.
That's right.
In the world of evolution, and that we are animals, and there's the survival of the fittest, and the stronger organisms can kill the weaker. All of morality hinges upon a creator God.
I tell people, do it like this. I believe that the age of the earth issue is the one issue that is an inoculation that we are giving to the next generation to not listen to the gospel of Christ. You teach them to think like the world. They put on this set of glasses that sees the world through the lens of millions of years. Somebody comes up to them and says, let me tell you about this God of love. And they look around the world with these glasses of millions of years on, and they see death, they see suffering, they see ugliness, and they say, there is no God of love out there. And you say, no, God, there's a God of love, and he has a wonderful plan for your life, and he loves you. And they're sitting there looking at the world through the lens of those glasses, and they can't see it. You've got to break those glasses. You've got to rebuild that foundation, just as Paul and Peter did with those Greeks. Say, let me take you back to the beginning, that perfect creation where man gave us God gave us the freedom to choose. Mm-hmm. And when we chose incorrectly sin, that's what caused the world to be where it is today. But you know what? There's hope. Because God says he's going to restore that heavens and that earth. He's going to bring it back to what it was in the beginning, that place with no more death, no more sorrow. And so therefore, you can preach to them about Christ who died on the cross because of the history. If you can trust the history of the perfect creation, man's action changing the world, so God then could come and die on the cross physically.
Right.
This is a key point, because many people, you told me you were debating the progressive creationists, they want to tell us that, oh, no, it's a spiritual death. Then why did Christ die physically on a cross?
Right.
If it was spiritual, why would Christ come and die physically on a cross? Romans 5, Romans 8 are so clear. By man, sin entered the world. Mm-hmm. By sin, death. The whole of creation groaneth and travaileth. This is the whole world. And we cannot give in on that millions of years issue, because if you do, you are allowing people to not look at the world because they don't see a God of love. They see a God of ugliness, if there is a God. And if we come out and preach nothing but creation to people, though, here's the real key.
Mm-hmm.
You can get people to believe in a creator God monotheistic religion
without
and they will still
salvation.
Go to hell.
Right, without salvation, because there are all kinds of cultists who believe in a God and a creation,
They
reject Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for them. So exactly, creation is the foundation of Christianity and of salvation. Carl, you point out how the history, you get the history and you could believe the message of the book because you see that the history is correct. We have a video called A Bible Tour of Israel. We've gone to Israel repeatedly, invite people in our church. We go to Bible countries and do Bible studies there. And what we say in that video over and over, A Bible Tour of History, is from each site we go to in the Holy Land, each remaining historical artifact or geographic reality that you could point to, and you could see there's thousands of pieces of evidence that the history, the story of the Bible is true. And if the history is true, then you should really look at the message. Because if the history of the Bible is true, it's an extraordinary history. That is overwhelming evidence that the message of the Bible is also true.
Absolutely. We'd like to tell people, look, it's interpretation of the evidence. Put on those biblical glasses so that when you look at the evidence around you, you can explain it using the Word of God. And that's what AIG really is trying to do. I mean, yes, we're building the museum, and that's a wonderful, wonderful tool to train this generation and the next generation how to go out and do these things. But we also do, seminars. I mean, we're coming out and doing what we're doing here. We're doing translations. I mean, the Greek, we're going to Greece. We're taking 185 people. Gospel Literature Services and AIG have teamed up to take 185 people
for the Olympics.
To the Olympics, the last week of the Olympics, we're going to take people out, and we are going to go on the street and do street evangelism, sharing our faith. We've got the gospel track in 13 different languages, and then what we find, though, at the last couple of Olympics that we've helped, we didn't take people the last couple of times. We just went. I gave materials to the people that went, but this time we said, we got to take a team with us.
Oh, wow. And so you guys, the whole world comes together for the Olympics.
Absolutely. We're saying, hey, people are talking about wanting to take a missions trip to the world. How about letting the world come to you?
So, Denver Bible Church, we had members who went to the Olympics in Utah. But we didn't bring creation material. We brought pro-life material, mm-hmm. showing the world that the unborn child is a living human being who's innocent. But this is extraordinary because creationist material is riveting. So many people who are not Christians, who don't know much about God, you give them a pamphlet, something gripping, and it opens the door for the seed of the gospel to be planted and there to be a harvest. So you're going to do that. That's when is that? That's in later in June?
Well, we're going to leave August 21st.
Oh, okay. I
go for the last week of the Olympics, and then we're staying over 2 days. Now, this is what's really neat. We're staying over 2 days. The day after the Olympics, we're taking everybody on a guided tour through ancient Corinth.
Oh, wow.
There's two out of 25, I believe it's 2,500, don't quote me on that number, licensed tour guides. And you have to be a licensed tour guide in Greece to give tours. There's two that are evangelical Christian, period. That's it. Hmm. And so last year I went over and did a fact-finding sort of a mission, and we had this guy take us through ancient Corinth. And you stand there in front of the bema, the judgment seat, where Paul was taken and tried, and Sosthenes lost the case and was taken and beaten in front of the bema. You're standing there looking up. Oh, it's an amazing trip. So we're going to take people on this trip through ancient Corinth with a biblical Greek tour guide who's going to just sit there and open up the scriptures with you. And then after that day, we're going to take everybody on a three-island boat cruise so that we can get to see some of the smaller islands of Greece.
Oh, man.
And then we'll wrap it up on the way back on the boat. But this is for people that want to do evangelism, personal evangelism. Answers in Genesis is not just a bunch of talking heads going out and doing seminars. We are absolutely engaged in trying to train that next generation and go out and reach the culture for Christ, because mm-hmm. speaking and doing the seminars, that's a huge part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly is training that next generation to get out and impact the world that we live in.
Mm. That's just thrilling. And Carl, if you'll promise not to ask me how we're doing this,
uh-huh.
right now, my friends and I from Denver Bible Church, we're actually in Ephesus in Turkey.
Oh, no.
And yesterday we saw the ruins of the Temple of Diana, the ancient temple.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'll ask you not to ask me how I could do that and be in the studio at the same time.
I won't ask you. It sounds intriguing,
and,
though.
You know what? Where else? We're going to the birthplace of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, which is just fascinating. You know, Turkey is, of all the countries in the Bible, Turkey has the second only to Israel in how significant that country is to the Bible stories, the things that happen there.
Mm.
It's just, you know, that's where Noah's Ark came to land, in the mountains of Ararat.
Well, I tell you, when you get over, and I know as you've taken all these trips to Israel, when you stand there and you see and you walk where Jesus and the disciples walked, it changes your whole perspective on your faith. This is real world. This isn't a game. This isn't a fairy tale.
Right.
This is real. When you stand on Mars Hill and you look over, and if people are interested, I don't know if they are, but if they would like, go to the answersingenesis.org website.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, when they push the events button, there's going to be a little graphic on the top left-hand side that says Olympics Ministry, and they can hit that and they can go and get information. It's getting pretty close to being filled. But when you stand on Mars Hill and you look at what Paul saw, and you walk where Paul walked, when people come up to you and say, oh, well, you guys go and speak in churches that we don't agree with, you're sitting here saying, guys, God called us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Look at what Paul was dealing with. Look at the culture that he was dealing with. We have to go out and engage the culture. Churches and Christians that have compromised on the Word of God, if somebody doesn't go and call them back to the authority of the Word of God, who will?
Mm.
Who will? We, as Christians, have got to love people enough that we're willing to step outside of our comfort zone. And believe me, to lead a group of people to Greece is outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Carl, we're just thrilled with Answers in Genesis, what you guys are doing here and even around the world. We're running out of time today, but I'd be thrilled if you can join us for the show tomorrow. This is Answers in Genesis week at Bob and Yart Live, and we're heading toward this Sunday, June 6th, with Carl speaking at our church for Sunday school and the sermon. So, Carl, we'll have you back on tomorrow.
Well, thank you, and you're going to love Terry Mortensen even more than me once you get him on here.
Terry Mortensen, and some of his areas of interest are some of my favorite topics when we look at the science and creation evolution. So Terry Mortensen, we are looking forward to having him on Thursday and Friday. So God bless you, Carl Kirby. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Bob. I appreciate you guys giving us this chance.
You're very welcome. So Carl is a founding board member with Answers in Genesis. Come on out this Sunday morning. We're a small church. As many of you know, we were planted by a relatively small Bible church across town in Northwest Denver a few years back. And they had families in Southwest Denver who wanted a church in, you know, near where they lived. And so the elders and the pastor of Derby Bible Church in Commerce City planted this church and asked me to be the pastor, which was an honor. And so we're not a big congregation. We're young in the life of our church, and we'd like to give Carl Kirby a real welcome, a Colorado welcome. So come on out if you could, and Sunday morning greet him, and I'm sure you'll have a great time. By the way, at Bob and Yurt Live, we've got Bible study albums, videos. We got one video, Bob Debates an Evolutionist with Dr. Eugenie Scott. I debated Eugenie Scott is a PhD in physical anthropology, and she's a leading anti-creationist. That's what she does for her living. She goes around the country trying to get people to oppose Christian creationism. And so we've got an hour debate with Dr. Eugenie Scott, and we sell the debate. She doesn't. We sell copies of it. She doesn't. So I'm not sure exactly what that tells us about who won or who lost, but I think you will enjoy that. Also, our Bible studies, we've got Genesis Creation, a really neat album on the creation account written by Moses and endorsed by Jesus Christ, and Genesis the Fall, Why Did Sin Occur? And how long was Adam and Eve on the earth before they sinned? That's an interesting topic. There's all kinds of, there's significant evidence in the book of Genesis that the fall happened relatively quickly after creation. Well, for one, there were no children born to Adam and Eve before they sinned, and Eve had not even become pregnant. She had not become pregnant before the fall. So that gives us some kind of logical constraint on when the fall occurred. And then Genesis, the flood. I think you'll love some of these Bible studies, and we get into the Exodus story with secular evidence for the true God versus Egypt's false gods. These are Bible study albums that we have here at Bob and Yurt Live that we've put together that we think you will love. And as always, everything we offer comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, except for the donations. Do we have a 30-day money-back guarantee on donations? No. But on everything else, we do. So, and if you want to get a better handle on the Bible, the best thing to do is read it. That's the best thing to do. But God has appointed pastors and teachers, people to teach the Word of God. And so my life's work is the plot manuscript, a 330-page overview of the Bible, and grasping the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So if you like to read, you could order the plot manuscript. If you prefer to listen, we've got the plot on audio tape, on MP3, CD-ROM. And, of course, all of these materials, we hope and pray, will help and bless you and entertain you, but they'll also help Bob and Yurt Live stay on the air. So you can call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you could go to our website at kgov.com. And that's a great way to look at our materials because they're all laid out there for you. You could see them. You could read detailed descriptions about them. So we need your help, and I'm thrilled that those of you in the audience that were fighting this fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ together. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.